welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 31 on August 23rd, 2018. Today I spent hours and hours talking to the delightful Jessie Lesser of Jessie Lesser's Cakes, as well as Fancy Cakes by Lauren in Dallas, Texas, about so much fun stuff that I had to squeeze it down as much as possible to fit into a reasonably sized episode for you all. So whether you're squeezing in too many cake orders relative to your time and dimension in space, crushing it in your latest competition entry, or packed tight into an airplane seat on your way to an international cake show, let's get this show started to amuse and edutain you on your sugar arts journey. Just a quick warning that Jessie and I don't say anything overtly offensive in this episode, but we do talk about the concept of swearing, certain famous cakes that look like lady parts, and some other general cheeky irreverence. So while there's nothing in this episode that I wouldn't play in front of my own kids, if you're concerned about such things, then you might want to make sure you don't have young ears around. Joining me now, and really not having been talking for the last couple of hours already, is Jessie Lesser from Jessie Lesser Cakes in Dallas, Texas. Welcome after 2 hours of conversation we totally didn't just have.
We were pre-gaming.
Yeah, we were pre-gaming.
We were getting everything right.
That's right.
And we were Googling all the stuff we needed to Google that's not cake-related.
That's right. Well, should we tell them what we Googled? They're not going to care. But in case anyone wants to know what we Googled, was we were wondering, why is the dime, the U.S. dime...
Why is the American dime smaller than the American penny?
Yeah.
Because I had a discussion with my niece, and she's six, and she had the best reason for it. And she was convinced it was because it was based on how tall the presidents are. That Roosevelt, and she knew it was Roosevelt. She's six. She knows it's Roosevelt. That she said, I think the dime is smallest because Roosevelt's the shortest president. And I was like, oh, you're wrong. But that's really sweet. But then we got to talking. We're like, but wait a minute. Why is the smallest?
We're not recording yet. So let's look this out. I was saying, oh, this could be like a Kim Googles thing. So you don't have to. Except now we're just going to say, it's because it used to be based on silver coins.
So that the dime was one-tenth the size of a silver dollar, and then when they invented pennies, we can't have something that's a tenth the size of a dime, so we're just gonna, you know, go rogue.
Yeah, and they made them, they're making stuff up. So there you go, like, we're less than, like, a minute into this podcast, and people have learned things about history, and numismatics. That's it. Oh, see, now they've learned that too. Snap! We are educating people at 1:30 in the morning British time. Yes, we are.
We're on it. And that my niece has really, really sweet ideas, but they're wrong. I love her for that. I had to burst her little bubble. But I was like, your reasoning is really... I like where you went. It's just wrong. Now, the next time I see her, I'm going to be like, no. My friend, we Googled it.
Yeah, we Googled
it. This is what it is.
Okay, so money-wise, because I grew up in Canada, which has quarters, and, you know, obviously lived in the U.S., which has quarters. Mm-hmm. England doesn't have quarters. They have a 20p coin. Do you know how much it messes with your head?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? You're multiplying things by four. You're thinking in the quarters, in the fourths.
Yes.
I moved from Canada to the U.S., and I finally got used to money all the same color and trying to figure out what the heck is in my hand, having to read each bill. I finally got used to the money there, and then I moved here, and I'm like, now wait, what, huh? Because now I have to calculate in fifths. I don't know how to calculate in fifths, and I still can't – I don't know what all the coins are to look at them. I know what the 20p coin is because it's a really common one. And the 50p is big. The 50p is like a 50-cent piece, like, which you don't see very often.
Yeah, it stands out.
But they're big and weird, right? And pennies are obvious because pennies are still brown, right? But then, like, they don't call them nickels. There's a 5p coin, and it is smaller than the 10p coin. So that's weird, right? Because in Canada, too, the dime and the nickel are – yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's a really good thing I don't have a retail business where I need to make change. We have cups in this house of so many different coins.
Because I'm married to an Australian who was born in New Zealand, but we've been to both of those countries. Like, if we were packing our Austin house to come here, we packed the weird cups. Like, I'm talking about, like, friends came over and they left their giant 7-Eleven cup, right? That became like the Australian money cup. So we have like a 7-Eleven cup. We've never had 7-Eleven ourselves. We're not big soda drinkers, but we have the 7-Eleven cup full of Australian money. It's in my husband's bedroom. Before anyone freaks out, we have separate rooms so we can sleep and still love each other.
Sure.
So like, that's why we have a happy marriage, because we're in two separate rooms. But so yeah, we have these cups of money. We have a cup of Australian coins, and we have cups of American coins, and we even have a small cup of Canadian coins that came from when I moved down.
Nice.
Right.
Okay, but see, when he like goes back to Australia, does he bring any of that money with him
so he can
spend it legitimately, or does he forget and then just brings more?
No, he does. We totally do. Yeah, when I would come back to the Austin show, I would go into his room and raid his American bill stash.
Oh, sure.
I would stuff my wallet full of, you know, it's always ones. Like, there's so many ones. I'm like, because you go around and you're being a tourist, even if you're visiting, like, a place you've lived.
Yeah,
when you're visiting, you're still tourists. So you're spending a 20 here and a 20 there. And then what are the bank machines in the U.S.? They're always giving 20s. Like, you have to get 30 out of a bank machine if you ever want a 10.
Yeah.
So you're giving 20s. So you're dropping 20s all over the place, and you collect this change. So he has this massive stack. Like, if anyone robs our house, they're going to be really sad, because they're going to, like, leave our house with sack loads of money that's going to add up to, like, $18.
But it'll look really, like, it'll feel really...
Yeah, it'll feel like, here's this big 7-Eleven cup full of... Yeah, the 7-Eleven cup full of Australian money, and it's going to be, like, you know, $13 Australian, which is worth, like, I don't even know how little, but it's...
I'm so disappointed. Like, that's almost worth, like, not that you want somebody to do that, but be like, ha, joke's on you, jerk. You just broke into my house, and you've got a cup of not useless money, but you can't really do anything with it now.
I keep saying, you know what, if a robber came into this house... If they navigated the treacherous field of small, sharp toys, not even just the Lego, but, you know, Hot Wheels. There are so many Hot Wheels on the floor. Okay. Hot Wheels, Lego. Robin likes the little toys, the little Paw Patrol pups, and the kind of things people would put on a cake if they didn't know how to model, right?
Fair enough.
Yeah. Look, I tried it back to cake. Jamie. So, if a burglar came in, I would know, because it'd be like, ow.
Ow.
Swear word.
This is pathetic.
And then they'd have to get past, like, the mountain of cookie cutters. Like, I just had to clean this. Cake people are going to come rob me and take all my cutters and my tools, and you can have my innovative SugarWorks sugar shapers when you pry them out of my cold, dead hands. But
thank you. Yeah. Oh my God, those are amazing.
I know, I love those things. You know what they are? They're right here in my drawer. Oh, I just opened my drawer and look at them, because I had to clean my desk for the boiler man coming today.
I saw that.
Yeah, and my desk was already a miasma of pain of unsorted cake tools, because I get this cake bag thing, which is like Loot Crate, but it's cake tools.
Ooh.
I know. It's a British thing, and she keeps making noise about possibly doing an American version, because the shipping to the U.S., it just makes it stupid.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
But so I have this shoebox full of stuff that either people have given me, mm-hmm. or it's stuff that came in a goodie bag from Austin.
Oh my God, my Austin goodie bag, I have like a little bin, like a little tub.
Yeah, they don't do goodie bags here at the shows, unless it's the Cake Masters Awards, because actually right on the top is one of the things I totally use all the time, but it always on the top. This is my Fondex branded metal cake fondant smoother, which I actually find does not do a great job on the fondant. I like the plastic ones better, but you know what this is good for? And I learned this from Shanna and Sam when they were on, ironing your cookies when they come out of the oven.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. So because it's metal, I'm not going to melt it on a hot cookie. And I think a good PME one isn't going to melt anyway. But you know what I mean? Like, so your sugar cookies come out. Yeah. And or gingerbread, and you want to iron it. So I use this metal Fondex, smoother. So that's on the top of that pile. I could do a show, like, if I get no guest one time, I'll just sit here and empty the shoebox one piece at a time and read a, here's a set of pebble cutters.
That would be like a video, like those YouTube videos where the kids open up the toys, and you can just watch that all day, and you're like, what's in this plastic cake? I don't know. Stay tuned to find out. Like, it would,
I should do that.
If you ever do it, could you imagine a YouTube video? And today on what's in this cake box, and we were just all going through the tools that we bought, but that we haven't put away.
Yeah, because
like, look what I found.
This here in radio, we call this actuality. Oh, see, it's the sound. It's the sound. This is, I'm holding now, the Gem twist nozzles, because they came in the cake bag. And it's one of those things I probably wouldn't have bought for myself. I haven't had a chance to use yet, partially because it's been too hot. So last thing I was going to do was buttercream on a cupcake in the heat. But yeah, so they're in the plastic because I haven't put them away yet. So I have this pile of stuff that was like really messy, but I had to clean up enough to move it away so the boiler man could inspect the boiler. So now I'm sitting at a desk that's like a controlled chaos situation.
How do you feel about that? Are you happy or anxious?
Well, so here's the thing. What I really behind the shoebox is a big. It's one of those things you're supposed to buy to put like all your drill bits and screws and stuff in, right? But okay, I bought it to do cake tools, and when I bought it, I had time to sort that week, but it took a week to get here.
Yeah.
So I've sorted three drawers. I have a drawer of toothpicks. And I can say toothpicks, not cocktail sticks, because they're my Austin supply. So it said toothpicks on the box. So they're toothpicks, not cocktail sticks. When I run out, then they'll become cocktail sticks.
Well, there you go.
One of the drawers is birthday candles.
Okay.
Because Cake Bag has sent some of those. Or then, like, because I can never find them the rest of the year that I need them. Or Robin only wants the pink ones out of the 99p set from the store. See, it's 99p, yes. Not 99 yes. cents, right? So I have one of birthday candles, and I could see another one is, it's that, oh God, I don't even make it. It's the little rolling cutter thing where you have to like unscrew all the ends and put the little, it's got like a.
Like the ribbon cutter, that Wilton thing?
Yeah, I don't think it's Wilton though. I think it's FMM.
Okay.
I think, but it's one of those.
Yeah.
It was given to me, so actually, I don't even know if it's a knockoff because it was given to me, so.
You can neither confirm nor deny that this came.
It's not great because I prefer, like over there on the other side of the desk, is I like the OXO mincer to use as a ribbon cutter. Because then it's like five pizza wheels in one, right?
Yes. I see. I always had, because I had one of those, not an OXO one, but the same idea, like the accordion pizza wheel, whatever.
Yeah.
But mine was so junky, it wouldn't stay as far apart as you wanted it to. That part was fine. But where the wheels were a little loose, so they would wobble like a drunk person down the road. Like, rah, rah, rah. So I'd have five that were just like your toddler had tried to cut them all out.
Yeah, so the OXO one is really good. Now, I was going to teach a class with this, so I thought, well, the OXO one, first of all, I got it at Target in the U.S., where I paid a reasonable price for it. It's an American brand that you can get here, but it's more expensive. So, like, I think they're, like, £15 a piece, which is, like, over $20. So I was like, ooh, do I really want to buy extras of these just to have them run a class? So I went onto eBay, and I found, like, I don't know, some random manufacturer of another one. And so, like, the OXO cuts three strips at once. And this other one that I got would cut, I'm looking at it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It would cut five at once in smaller widths. And it was cheaper. I think it was only like £8. But it's okay right now. But I can see from its construction, like its outer body is not very, it's very flexible plastic. Whereas the OXO one is good. I mean, because the OXO, right? OXO is a really good brand. So I can see right now it's fine. But I, long term, that's not going to hold
up. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I like, but I use it because it actually cuts a slightly different width. But those are the ones where they're fixed. The pizza wheels are fixed, not the one that opens and closes.
Okay.
So it's like there are, because you're supposed to, it's supposed to be for mincing herbs. You're supposed to like zip it back and forth across back your forth. Chives or whatever. I've never used it for chives because why would I wreck my tool?
No. I ended up by the ruler, you know, be like left side, right side of the ruler and just scouring, you know, oh my gosh, Target's had a line for a while where they had like back to school rulers and they would have like a color coded set. All of my school supplies are, you know, teal blue this year, and the teal blue ruler is a different width than the pink ruler. So I got like all of them. So I've got the ruler that's an even 2 inches wide. So I can just, you know, top and bottom 2 inches. And I've got the one, like the smallest one that I've got is like 3/4 of an inch, and anything other than that, just measure
Right.
Because every time I've tried to do one of the ribbon cutters, either I buy, I'm a little cheap, so I'll buy the less than fabulous version of it, or I break it.
Yeah.
I've got the heavy collection of rulers at this point.
I have a lot of, I don't even know where I got it from. I think it may have been like an ancient math set, but like a little, it's over here, a little just cheap, I don't know from where, clear, hard plastic ruler. And yeah. I've used it for cakes for so long. I've used it as a cutting edge, like just yes. chomp through. I've used it for measuring. I've used it for impressing a line. I've used it as a cake tool. I mean, it's not food safe. Like, it's a math set thing. Like, whatever. The numbers were starting to wear off, so I went looking for a replacement. And I thought, well, this is a cheap ruler. I don't want to spend a lot of money on this, right?
Sure.
So I went on to the AliExpress, whatever. And it's so hard to find a rigid plastic little ruler because yes. it seems like there's this now thing of silicone rulers.
Oh, no. I
that's
need
not what
sturdy.
I want. Yeah, I need a straight edge. I don't want a floppy. I see why it's fun for kids. But then also, sure. Silicone measuring makes me stabby because, Corinne and I saw this years and years when we were first married and had time, because he was a university professor and I had no green card. So we had time to do things and didn't have kids. Yeah. And so we would do things like, let's just go to the RPG mini shop and buy nerdy D&D stuff for an hour. And that was a thing. Or let's go to Sur Le Tub. That's because you have to say it like that, right? Sur Le Tub.
Just buy everything.
When South Park did that joke of Sur Le Tub, we were like laughing so hard. We're like, oh, we thought it was just us making a joke that it's Sur Le Tub. But so we'd go to Sur Le Tub and they would have all these fancy tools, and including the silicone, rubbery, soft measuring cups. And the sales point was that you could collapse them in your drawer. And he and I took one look at this and we're like, if you change the shape of the cup at all, you've changed the volume of measurement. There's no way those can be accurate, because by simply putting even like a heavy whole wheat flour in them,
they'll stretch out.
They stretch out. And that's no longer an accurate. You cannot possibly have accurate measurement
pretty.
In a flexible cup. Yeah, they're pretty. And you can get them in rainbow colors. But, you know, you can get hard plastic ones in rainbow colors, too. Like, and if you don't, I guess it doesn't matter if you're consistent, right? Like, does your cup measurement matter that much? I mean, if it's a delicate souffle or whatever. But, like, as long as you're consistent and the recipe's working, then fine, whatever. But, like,
sure.
it's more that someone thought to sell that makes us angry, makes us stabby.
it sounds like a really good idea. It's one of those where it sounds like a good idea. And it's invented by somebody who would never, ever use this.
Oh, yeah, that's half the problem. People who come
look at it and be like, well, but it's saving room in your drawer. That's a great idea. It is.
Yeah. Well, I saw I wanted to buy a whisk that I could use in my nonstick pan, right? We tried the ones where it's like a silicone coating over wire, but
yes.
those are gross because food gets in there and you can't clean it out. And when you finally discover how gross it is and you realize how long you've been using it gross, you will never use one of those kinds again. It's gnarly. It's disgusting. So I was looking for a solid nylon, like heat resistant, obviously, whisk. And I looked all over stores here. Couldn't find one. All I could find were the coated ones. So I go on to AliExpress. I'm like, all right, well, like, I don't need it now. This is just the thing I want. I can wait the 30 to 90 days. I ordered one that said it was solid plastic. It came. It was actually the rubber coated over. And so I complained and they refunded me my, pound or pound 20 or whatever cheap thing it was. Then I finally gave up and looked on Amazon UK had, I can't remember what brand it was. It's like a UK kitchen brand, Kitchen Craft or one of these.
Sure.
It wasn't Oxo. It wasn't one of the good brands. But in between finding that, the number of whisks I found that are collapsing whisks, again, so they can fit in your drawer. And I'm like, it's going to collapse in the middle of my buttercream. It's going to collapse in my soup. It's going to collapse in my gravy. I don't know.
I don't want this. Yeah.
And then they had this side thing where they would market it as not just a collapsing whisk, but that it's also now a fish server somehow.
Oh, yes. It kind of folds in on itself and it looks like a fish spatula.
Yeah, so it will gently grab your fish.
Yeah. No.
But, so I'm like, oh, so what you're saying is
my whisk for my fish.
So really what you're saying is this is an ineffective whisk because it's going to collapse, and it's ineffective tongs because it won't grab anything tightly. No, I don't want this in my drawer, even if it's collapsed in my... Because also, what's it going to do when it collapses in your drawer? It's going to catch every tine of every barbecue fork in there. It's going to it's going to catch on everything, and all the swearing will happen.
Not just some of it, but
all of it. All.
We were talking about this before the microphone turned on, that I swear a lot, and I try not to, and sometimes they sneak out, but at least when I'm, you know, in front of people, you try not to. Mm-hmm. I was at a demo, and I was doing good, and I thought in my head, be like, oh, yeah, didn't say anything I wasn't supposed to, and I just happened, and it slipped out, the not shoot word, and I just looked mm-hmm. at the panic. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get fired from this free volunteer thing that I'm doing. I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Shoot. It's hard.
We don't swear on the podcast mostly, so you all listening, if your child is in the room, you won't hate me. It's not a podcast for kids, but if we were dropping swears or real inappropriate content, I would put a warning at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, the disclaimer.
Well, I had to for that episode you were just telling me, the Abby Jimenez episode had a disclaimer. Because
we were talking about that. I had put that in, and I was kind of listening to it, but I was like cleaning my kitchen, so I was like sort of listening, and then I would tune out and sort of listening. I got so stuck, and we said that I gave her the giggles. I got stuck in the Vigiodes because that's just awful. Like, it's such a weird thing. And I was at another cake show like a couple years ago, and he was an international instructor. And we had got to chatting. He's so funny. He's like, I have to ask you this question. I said, what? He goes, what is it with all of you and your sparkly vagina cakes? I'm like, what? And he was like, it's supposed to look like a rock, but it just looks like a big gaping vagina. And he said it real quiet. And I was like, you are my new best friend. Because first of all, you said it. You asked that question. That's not a question you ask of like people that you don't know. But he said it all quiet and like all, you know, nervous. I was like, oh, I love you. The pink ones, I can't do it.
Well, you've seen the names that they have, right? Blue Waffle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think we're putting it up. You know what? Let's just say right now, I'll go ahead and put a warning on this.
We can just say whatever we want.
Preemptive, just in case.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking for so long, and I'm sure she's a little punchy because it's terribly late because we just got completely off topic.
It's 2:04
like 2 hours
yeah.
before we started even.
I know, that's right. We were doing our gossip fest and our political purging.
Yeah, we tried to get it out, but I'm sure we missed something.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. Like I keep saying, it's not a political podcast, but you all know where I stand. Like, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, because I did bring it up when I had declared that I hadn't gone to Austin. I have said why, because I don't feel safe, and as an immigrant,
you will be missed.
Yeah,
aww. You will be missed. But I completely understand.
Yeah,
well, I completely understand why, and I completely understand even just for you personally, but then wanting to be supportive of the people that honestly would be.
Yeah, that is part of it. And I mean, like, especially with like the cake world doing so well in places like, you know, Dubai and Singapore.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, there's going to be like, we're getting rising cake stars, particularly because here I am in England reading Cake Masters magazine, which has like an India version. It's got a French version and an India version. And so obviously Rosie goes out there, the editor, she goes out to like, there's a massive cake show now. I think it's called Cakeology, right?
I believe so.
I think that's right. Cakeology in Mumbai, I think. I don't know. It's in India. And it's a massive, massive. I mean, there was a guy who made like an elephant cake, which was huge. I'm going to have to find that a link for the show notes because it was like epic.
Yeah.
And so like, that's a whole massive market with a huge up and coming stars that are like, you know, integrating into the like sort of the American circles. And,
yes,
but a lot of,
which is amazing.
Yeah, a lot of those people are going to have lineage from the countries that are now banned from entering, effectively entering the U.S. When you're organizing a cake show, we deal with immigration issues. I have written the letters for, you know, and see, a year ago, I would have said who. I'm not going to say who, because I don't want people, I don't want my Latina friends to be named in any way.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Even though I think it's probably fine. But I've written letters for on behalf of the cake show. I've been the one who writes the letter to say, this person, and like we all know who they are. So, but like, you know, like our Latina friends, right, who come up from Mexico.
Yes.
I've written the letter to say, we want this person to come teach at our show or demonstrate at our day of sharing because she has this unique skill set. She is known in Mexico City for doing this, this, and this. So we believe that she has this, you have to phrase it as unique value. And then, so you submit this to, you know, you give this back to her. She submits it as part of her visa application. Then she gets a visa to come up. So that is actually something we do as part of the show. And now when there are these extra things on that says, well, but if you're from this country, we're going to run you through this many more ringers. It makes it so we can't say, hey, rising amazing star who lives in Singapore, but maybe has a father from Iran.
We would love to have you,
but we can't guarantee you'll safely get in and out of the country.
And that's so sad. Cause like one of the Austin shows will always be near and dear to my heart because it's the first cake show I ever went to, like ever. And I think there's only, since the first one that I went, I think there's only one year that I didn't make it. Like even when I moved out of Texas, I still came back because it's so good. And one of the amazing things is that it's such a good show that it brings people from all over. Like there's a really heavy international contingent to that show, which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
bad to think, and you can tell that you guys have tried to foster that. Like, no, we love everybody. If you've got something amazing, we want you to share it, and we're going to help you share it. And our students are so amazing; they want to learn it. We want to help them learn it. But to have that feeling that's like we would love to have you, but we can't. Not that we can't guarantee your safety, but we can't kind of guarantee.
That has become what it is. Really, to lay it super nastily blunt, we can't.
Yeah. And that's
we can't guarantee someone won't call ICE. We can't guarantee that someone won't do something bad.
It's of all the things for that to happen, like it's cake. It's cake.
Cake
and cookies.
It's cake. Yeah. that's part of why, you know, and this is going to come out more later, but we have talked about it publicly. Kyla and I in post. So I think it's probably okay to mention. That's why we're writing the code of conduct for the show. So that for every bit that we can control, we are going to say, LGBT people, we have your back. Trans people, you use the washroom you need to use at our show. Yeah. We are not going to let people discriminate you against you for that.
Place.
But we can only control
So far. The
venue so far. We certainly can't control airports. We can't control visas. We can write you those letters. It just makes it logistically hard if a government says, well, all these people are now persona non grata. We want to make you grata. We as the show want to say, look at the amazing work you do. Please come to our show. We will help with airfare.
We want to support you.
Yeah. It's and here it's not just the U.S. Like I was just reading today in The Guardian that some festivals, a book festival here, 12 authors couldn't get visas to U.S. And of course, they're from Muslim countries.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. And it's like these people are authors. They're recognized in their field. This book festival in Edinburgh wanted these people to come and speak and couldn't get their visas approved. And that's hurting everybody. That's hurting the audience. That's hurting the authors.
It's hurting that whole, you know, micro community that everybody that's going there for that specific reason.
That's right. And so we're all better off. This is, again, not trying to be a political podcast, but the politics is starting to hurt. It's starting to hurt our industry. If we've got people who can't travel because of where their parents are from, or that because like, well, I can't travel because I'm afraid of what's going to happen by February, that like, because my last name is different than my kids, or because, you know, these stories that are starting to erupt out. It's like, I have a U.S. passport, for crying out loud. It should be fine. But I'm not confident.
Just in case.
And so I'm having such FOMO. I'm having such sad FOMO, guys. I really want to come to the Austin show.
Well, we were talking about this before. I was so glad because we got a selfie at this last show. Because normally if I see you at the show, and sometimes I don't even see you because you're so busy. And it's like one of those, like, you know, you're running one way. I'm like, hi, friend. Like, I'll message you and be like, I saw you, you know, it's like, no, come here. You got a ribbon. I got a ribbon.
Yes.
We're going to take a picture of ourselves with our ribbon.
I know.
And
I'm going to get all beklempt now. Yeah, I know. We got a picture because I don't know unless you come out here when I'm going to see you again.
I know. It's awful. That's why we were talking for so long before. It's like, okay, we're going to chit chat.
Yeah. Cause now I only have time to chit chat with my friends at like 2 o'clock in the morning overseas on the interwebs. Oh, well, good thing I have a podcast then, isn't it?
Because I was going to say, I would have never been able to have such a wonderful conversation with you at the show because we're too busy.
No, but see, now, that does happen for me. At Cake International, when I go to Cake International, I can't work at that show. That's a for-profit show that doesn't take volunteers.
Oh, really?
So as much as I suck up to Melanie Underwood on a regular basis and want to be involved, also, I criticize the show sometimes too, so I'm probably never. And that's assuming she ever listens to this podcast, which I'm going to assume she doesn't. I just assume nobody does unless they tell me that they do. But other than Kyla's required, because I think when I was first going to do it, I was like, oh, if I make a podcast and no one will come on, will you come be my friend?
Be my friend. I would love to go to Cake and that's on my bucket list. And I had it in my mind, be like, I'll go this year. I'm not going.
Yeah.
I'm going to put like solid plans. I'm trying to do like, I'm working with, you know, the budget.
Yeah.
And you know, you want to have what are you saving for? And I'm really tempted to be like, well, I want to go to Cake International, like have that, you know, separate part of the savings just to go to there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. The pictures that I've seen, like the level of cake that's there. Oh my God.
It's so much more fastidious.
Yes.
I've always felt this way that, like, if you want to see the biggest, boldest, newest, most innovative weirdness, Austin's your show. If you want to see...
Well, no, because you're not going to be there this year. You always bring the big, weird, innovative stuff.
Someone else can... I didn't win innovator last year, so there you go. Someone else...
Well, because the first year I met you, I don't even remember... I don't know if you'll remember this. The very first... Austin show that I went to, and it was the year I met everybody. Like, I was the deer and I was so fangirling it. It was like kind of after hours, and Mike McCary, and I'm like, oh, Mike McCary.
Mike McCary. He's like,
oh, yeah, Mike McCary. He's like, I want to go show you some stuff. And I'm like, you can show me whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like a sponge. Tell me what's cool. Like, I'm kind of my inner fangirl is dying that you're even talking to me, much less you want to show me something.
Oh, I know that feels.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, he brought me over and he introduced me to you. And he was like, this is Kimberly. And she does this really cool stuff. And it's like, I don't really understand it, but it's with gelatin. And it's really, really cool. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and that was it. But that was like 8 years ago.
Okay. Don't hate me. I don't remember that specifically.
Oh yeah. No. It was the last Austin that it was at kind of that warehouse, but it was the year before the mall.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that would have been, I'm trying to think, what did I, that would have been the year that it was flight was the theme, I think. Then.
Yes. Look at you.
So it's almost like I'm the PR director and this has been my
unpaid job for years. Yeah, it's almost like you're like involved with that show or something.
Yeah, it's almost like, I was secretary at the time. So I'm trying to think what I made. Okay, so then that would have been
the year before you did the gelatin snake, like the moving snake.
Yeah, the moving snake was the mall. The snake that went rah 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 as snakes do.
Like, that's that girl that Mike McCary said was cool.
But so I know what I made that year. Okay, because that was the first year of the Innovator Award then, because it was the year before was the medieval theme. And for the medieval theme, that's where I did this flexible edible stained glass that didn't place because that was the Lady of Shalott. And so then the next year they came up with the Innovator Award and it was kind of made very clear that I should make some more gummy and put it, wrap it around a cake.
Like now that we've sort of get you.
Yes, that's right.
Like, we need a do-over. We didn't get it last year.
Well, it was basically...
We need another chance.
Yeah, Nick Lodge, who's the head judge, had said he didn't want to see anymore that a piece that was so weird that they didn't know how to judge it doesn't do well just because it's so weird and innovative. You should have an innovator award. And so for those who don't know with the Austin Show, the way it works, the innovator award is across all categories, all types, everything. So anyone can apply for it. So whether you're, you know, rank amateur, first beginner, first time,
sculpted, wedding,
anything, showcase, anything you've got. If you've invented a technique, changed
really
a technique,
cool.
If you've invented a tool, anything you've done that you are reasonably confident is new.
Yeah, so far outside the box, like legitimately no one has ever done this before.
Right. So because, the judges will know if someone's done it before, generally speaking. So like you kind of, like it's a big thing going right now. The Yenner's Way has got a really cool video of him doing the caning method.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
it is cool. It's a legit cool video and he's doing a fab job of it. But every time someone says it's so innovative, I'm like, oh, I did that on my show cake in 2010 because Mike McCary told me to. So like that was my first ever Mike McCary homework that he gave was in 2010. I did the show cake, the sci-fi show cake, where I'd taken fondant and done caning because I'd done polymer clay before I did sugar.
Sure.
So I did it with fondant and it sort of worked. It was okay. Like I did it for the carpet tiles, like, cause it was supposed to look like, you know, nasty hotel carpet. Right.
Yeah,
So I did it like that. And then he came along and he's like, well, have you ever tried it in modeling chocolate? And I'm like, no. And he goes, well, that's your homework for next year. And if Mike McCary gives you homework, you do your homework. And so for the next year I had tried the caning method with modeling chocolate and it works as long as your kitchen isn't too cold. See, that's a trick.
Yeah, it's got to be that perfect.
Yeah, because as you're making the cane, so it is harder to, like, when Yenner Way guy does it, he's nailing it. Like, I'm not totally not denigrating the video. It's just that, it's not, it's been done. It's been done. It's been entered into showcakes and for some years. Not even just
so
by me.
It's so satisfying to watch. Like,
yeah, it is so satisfying.
And there's, like, three of them now, and I'm like, ooh, I totally know it's coming up, but I'm still
I know. Oh, I will watch candy. And there's a thing called the Skinner Blend. Do you know about the Skinner Blend?
I don't believe so.
Okay, this is a polymer clay technique.
I'm going to learn something.
Yeah, okay. This is polymer clay technique. Yeah, we were just saying earlier how it's not really a tip show, but here's a tip. And if you're busy right now, don't worry about taking notes. Just go Google later Skinner Blend.
This is the reverse of I Googled it so you don't have
to. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, now you can go Google it later if you don't. Okay. It's a polymer clay technique and it's how you make a gradient. And it works okay-ish in fondant. It works brilliantly with modeling chocolate. So what you would do is you would cut two long rectangles of, say you want to, you're going to go from a yellow to a red, sort of like a sort of a flamey gradient, right?
Sure.
You would cut a rectangle of yellow and a rectangle of red, and then you cut them on the diagonal, so you have a long sided triangle.
Sure.
And then you're basically flipping those together and then folding them over. So if you can imagine when you fold, and this is why I'm saying Google it, because this is an audio podcast about a visual medium.
Yeah.
When you flip that over, you're going to get, when you fold it, you're going to get too much yellow at one side and too much red at the other type.
Right.
Because you've got triangles that you're folding. You roll those and then you flip it. So you fold it and you roll it and you fold it and you roll it. So what you're doing is you're creating sort of bands of more of one color on one side and more of the other color on the other side.
Sure.
And
But it's really, I would think it would be really lightly kind of blending in the middle too.
That's right. The closer to the middle, the more blended. So with those colors, you'd be getting orange in the middle.
Yeah. Oh.
So you can do it with rainbows. A Skinner blend with two colors is really easy. Three colors is harder. Five, eight color, like it's because now you're dealing with all these triangles,
and you're a little unruly at that point.
But it's totally doable. So like if you Google Skinner blends, it's a polymer clay technique. Totally works with modeling chocolate. It works better with modeling chocolate because with fondant, if you're rolling it out, you got to dust your board usually, right? Otherwise, it depends on how sticky your fondant is. So if you're dusting in between layers, then you're just building up so much either cornstarch or powdered sugar, whatever you'd like to dust with, that it's going to start chunking and drying it out. So because modeling chocolate just peels off if you have a good board, it just peels off.
Peels it off.
Yeah. So that's why. And like if you have a the pasta machine roller, you can make it even more efficient.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that's like, again, there are all these polymer clay techniques like caning and Skinner blends and stuff that work really, really well.
Really well.
Yeah.
Once I figured out modeling chocolate, once I was introduced to modeling chocolate, totally changed my game. Like, if I want to sit and feel bad about myself, I think of all the cakes that I did before I knew about modeling chocolate, I struggled with, and I'm like, God, wouldn't this have been so much better? And then I get all, like, sad, you know, a little, like emo, you know, and be like, but I know about it now, so it's okay. Probably 50% of my tools that I use for modeling chocolate are from the clay store, like the potter store, like, you know, craft and hobby store is fine. But if you can find like an actual ceramic store where they're selling you the clay and the wires and all that fun stuff that I don't know what to do with it, but I know to go there, like an art supply store, it's the same tools. Like somebody decided, oh, this is a clay tool. If I color it pink and put it in a plastic container, now it's a cake tool and I can double the price. Easily half my tools are clay tools because they're sometimes they can be a better quality and a lot of times they're a lot less expensive.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah. Google any of that clay stuff and it's, I mean, modeling chocolate is just clay anyways.
Basically, it's anything you can make in polymer clay, I think you can make in modeling chocolate and vice versa. It's, I would not always the case for fondant or gum paste, but often. Because, well, in fact, because gum paste or flour paste, as they call it here, you can roll that a lot thinner than you can do polymer clay. So that has more that you can do, but only on like that side of things. But with clay tools, I'll tell you, again, Mike McCary. This is going to be a Mike McCary-heavy episode.
It really is.
And
it really is.
We're it's all so okay with that. I realized a recent episode he hadn't been mentioned at all. And I was like, oh my God, I think this is the first episode where no one's mentioned. I think it was Christine from Sweet Prodigy. Because we're talking about cookies and royal icing. So why would Mike McCary come up, right?
Sure.
At the end of the editing, I'm like, oh, there was no Mike. I didn't need to upload my sound for the Mike McCary. Which is going to be like six times at least in this episode, right? But his favorite tool. He's got one of those wooden clay knives.
Yes.
And he says...
it's amazing.
Yeah, he got it in some pottery type store decades ago or whatever. Like, he carries it around. He'll come to classes in a shop and he's like, yeah, this is my favorite tool. And I'm like, shouldn't it be locked away somewhere? Like, isn't that going to be an artifact?
Yeah, but he's a person. Yeah, we've got a great one here in Dallas, like Trinity Art Supplies, and I found that tool, the little wood, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And it's like less than $2, $2. I mean, how? Forget it.
Yeah, and his is like, it's all like weathered to his hands and stuff. That's why I mean, like, you know, 100 years from now, when we build the shrine, when we build the cake god shrine, this will be one of the precious artifacts that will cure all our cake diseases.
He's going to insist to be buried with it.
Oh, no. Well, okay. But then we'll have to send in like tomb raiders to loot his tomb.
We'll quote, honor your wishes, end quote.
That's right. That's right. We'll put a fake one in and then like his ghost will haunt it forever. Oh, now the Winchesters are coming for the Mike McCary wooden cake knife. Oh, this is spun out of control.
Just, weird tangent. But that's funny.
That's okay. Yeah. I'll find any excuse to go to the Winchester tangent.
Oh my God! Are you still doing your collaboration? If you are, I'm in.
Oh, okay.
Are
well,
gonna
so
do...
Shannon,
you had mentioned it, and then it just was real quiet.
Well, okay, because it's like three of you answered. That's why. Because okay, because Shannon,
shut up. We're all nerds. Okay.
Shannon Orr, whom I adore. And that rhymes. Shannon Orr, whom I adore. She. It's getting late. I'm punch drunk. She had talked about, like, we were joking once that we should do a Supernatural collaboration because fully a half of how Shannon and I talk on Facebook is in Supernatural gifts because you can have there are so many, can have a full conversation without having to use actual words. You can just speak in Sam and Dean gifts alone as long as one of the words is pudding. That is such an obscure joke. Like, five people in the audience just laughed their heads off, and everyone else is like,
yeah,
what?
And everybody else is like, what? Google it.
Why is, don't Google the pudding scene, actually. That's not child safe. Anyway, nothing about Supernatural is child safe. We call, in this household, we call that show Mummy's Special Time.
That's, oh, I love that.
With her hot
That'd
young
be so
man.
Weird. That'd be so weird. It's overheard at school. What are you doing? Well, I'm here because, you know, mommy's doing her special time.
That's right. with the Winchester boys.
I love that. With two boys.
Two boys who are covered in blood a lot. Wait a minute. This is going really downhill fast.
It's getting really dark.
Now there's Lucifer and God, and it's just so complicated. I don't understand. How do you go up plot once you've dealt with deities? Oh, right. You make new deities. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We're good with that. Okay. I don't swear. I'm still in partway through season 13. You guys have to remember, I only get it 6 months behind here in the UK. If we're lucky, we're 6 months behind. Anyway.
I'm behind her. I'm a little new. Well, not new. I'm new-ish. So I'm playing like catch up on Netflix.
Okay. Well, then I won't drop spoilers. I mean, saying that there's Lucifer, I don't think is a spoiler in the Supernatural.
No, I know that.
But right. So Shannon and I were joking about, in all the free time we have, because she has like a little kid too, right? Like, I think her daughter's three-ish. And so she listens. Hi, Shannon. So it's one of the few people I know will be listening to this at some point. Hi. I never know with other people, but I'm like, hi, Shannon listens. Hello, Shannon. We love you. So she and I were talking about doing a collaboration, but I think at the time when it first came up, I was like, yeah, I don't know that I can. But I put out that post saying who would be interested. And there was a small amount of interest. It wasn't like, it was small but loud. Like the people who are interested are like, yes, oh my God. Like I really want to make baby. I want to make the car, but I also suck at making cars, which again.
Cars are my unicorn. I've made a couple and they're like, okay, you, I worked one of my first cake job. I worked with this kid. His name is Emmy. And he always used to joke with me because I'd be like, what do you think of this? He goes, well, is it supposed to be a dinosaur? I'm like, it's a flower. So it's like, no, no, no. Like, if he can tell what it is, then in my mind, I feel I've done my job. So, like, the cars that I've made, like, you can tell that that's a Ford pickup truck. So I'm like, my job is done. But then my OCD kicks in and goes, but that's not quite. Cars are my unicorn. I have not made the one that I'm like, that's exactly how I wanted it to look yet.
I have not
on
made
my list.
A car. I mean, I've made like a cartoony truck cake for Robin. I haven't made a car cake. And here's a Mike McCary irony about that. In Mike McCary's craftsy car class,
which is amazing,
I can't take it because my imposter syndrome will kick in because I know he mentions me. And do you know who told me that he mentions me? Lauren.
Oh, no.
Lauren told me that in the middle of a day sharing. She was sitting beside me. She pokes me. She goes, do you know that you changed the cake world? I'm like, wait, what? What did I do? She's like,
he's like, for good or for bad?
Yeah, she's like, first she starts bringing up the Innovator Award thing. And she goes, and then with your gelatin stuff, do you know that Mike McCary mentioned you in his car class? I'm like, what?
Did you just die a little bit, like in a happy way? Like, you're like, my job here is done.
Well, I'm literally sitting there still kind of in the Lauren Kitchens knows who I am. Yay me. Like, I know you work with her. So like, that's like, but to me, it's like that Lauren even knows who I am. I'm having star worship. She's telling me that Mike McCary has mentioned me because of the gummy stuff in his craftsy car class. And I'm like, so you'd think I should make a car at some point. So I should make the Supernatural car.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I think you should.
And all the time.
Okay. So yeah. So Lauren Kitchen, she's my boss. And that still, I know her enough that I don't always fangirl, but every now and then I'm like, whoa, she's my boss and she's my friend. And we hang out and stuff. And I've been really fortunate because she's so respected in, you know, the cake world and especially in our little Dallas cake world, but like cake world, she knows all the good, fun people. And so now, like, I've been introduced to the good, fun people through her, and it's so weird. But yeah, it's like, ooh, she's like, ooh, you did this, and ooh, you did that. And don't you just fan, like, the way I look at it is she if we get a carved cake order at the bakery, she lets me do it. That's good enough for me, but it's not quite right.
What do you mean it's not quite right? Your cakes are awesome.
Aw, thank you. Your cookies are amazing. I'm still can't get over your Da Vinci cake or your Da Vinci cookie. We're going to talk about the Austin show.
Okay.
Austin show. Last time at the Austin show. The Austin show is my favorite. It always will be.
It's always going to be my favorite. Yeah.
It brings such amazing people from the cake world, like all in one place. It's just photo op, photo op, photo op. I'm so jealous of you. I'm so enamored of you. But like all the students that come, people come to that show because they want to learn stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's a show to come to. That's what I'm saying. Like, Austin is where you go if you want to see the biggest, the best, the newest, the brightest, the boldest. Mm-hmm. This is amazing.
Yeah,
Cake International has the most precise, perfect detail.
Yes. Not everything in Austin is perfect, precise, but it's always cool.
It's more impressive, and to be honest. Like, I mean, I'm not denigrating perfect precision and accurate flowers. And I get it that is a skill. But I'm more entertained.
Are you not entertained?
I'm more entertained at Austin. Because you turn around, you're like, wow, hey. And you turn this way, what did they? And then, like, what? Why don't you even understand what this is? But I love it.
I think it's almost from, like, the competitor side. Because you've been a competitor and done very well. And I've did a competitor. And I did well once. And the other twos were not so well. But that's okay. It's almost like I want to do something that's gonna, like, they don't get it. Like, I want to bring something so cool that the other competitors are not gonna understand. I'm gonna bring something so cool that the judges are like, I don't understand. I like it. I don't, like, it's almost like I would never enter into cookies because I know I couldn't compete. I would want to do something, like, I would want to one-up you, you know what I mean? Like, because that's in my head. Like, I want to do something amazing that all of my peers are gonna be like, ooh.
Well, that is sometimes my goal now. Like, especially as soon as I knew that Sarah Weber was going to be in the same cookie category with me, any hope of winning went out the window. And that's fine, because I love her and I love her art.
She's amazing.
She's so amazing. And she's such a sweetheart.
Did it push you a little bit more to be like, ooh, I'm going against her?
A little bit.
I could be going against her.
I knew I was going to be going against her. I knew she'd entered. like that's just because she'd said so. Like, she had said so. And I knew she was now, because we eliminated the professional category, and she'd won in advance. She had to be in Masters. So I'm like, well, damn. I will never win gold first place at cookies again. But I'm fine with that, because I actually don't always need to. I like winning. And sometimes I go to win. The first time I went for Showcake in Austin, I wanted it. Like, I wanted it on a really immature level. I wanted it bad in a way that I would have been gutted if I hadn't had it. And that was not a good place to be. I pushed myself too hard. I really messed up my life that February getting that cake done. I had a 3-year-old I was not paying enough attention to. It was hard. But I won. But having done that, now I can say I've done that, and it's kind of like, it's fine. Like, at Cake International, I'm never going to win Cake International. It's never going to happen. I don't even have that as a goal, because I don't make what they value.
I think that's a good way to, that's what there is. I appreciate it, and I'm like, God, that I can recognize the skill that went into that.
Yeah.
But that's not what I can do.
The judges,
I know what I can do.
Yeah. So my goal at Cake International is I've had two or three bronzes and a certificate of merit, and I know that's fine, and no, it's not. It's just whatever.
Right. My goal is I want to aim for third. Like, I want the recognition, I want the ribbon, I want the sticker next to my name.
Yeah.
You know, I want that. I really do.
I want a silver.
I know it's, you know.
That's what I want out of Cake International. I don't even want a gold. I just want a silver, because a silver means I've improved.
Exactly.
And then I can hang out at silver for a few years, and maybe after a few years, maybe then I will want a gold. But I honestly, I don't know that I'm ever going to get gold there, because it's not the kind of work that I do.
Yeah.
It's just not.
We just need to get things riddled out so you can come back to Austin.
Yeah, well.
I was blown away. I was blown away with, because I think when I first saw what you did, I didn't get it, because I did a real quick, a real quick walkthrough.
Yeah.
Like, not even really stopping to look at stuff, be like, oh, that's cool, that's cool. Ooh, that, you can see what they were trying to do, but that, oh, okay, oh, that's cool, that's cool. And then, so I didn't appreciate it the first time I saw it, because I did, like, a drive-by.
What was weird looking? It was super weird, because of the fortune cookie sales. They were not precise. And this is what I'm saying. I would never enter that piece in Cake International.
Yeah.
Because they weren't precise. Like, I'd filed the edges. But the nature of fortune cookies is a bubbling batter. You can't make it precise. It's not within physics. And so, there was even, like, debate with the judges of, and I debated this myself, was should I have covered the sales with, like, a smooth gum paste or fondant. I could have made them out of pastillage. Then they would have been perfectly smooth. But I was for maximum cookie-age. And so, again, my goal was not to win that category. My goal was to see if I could make gears out of gingerbread.
you could have made those sales out of the pastillage. Yep. And you know you could have done it and they would have been perfect.
Yep.
But you know that you could have done it and that they would have been perfect. So one of the things I admire about you is that you are always trying to do something weird in a good way. Like, you're trying to push yourself. Be like, well, I know I could make these out of pastillage. Well, can I make it out of fortune cookie? Boring, I don't know. Yeah. Let's try it. You know,
why would I do something someone else could do?
You don't go for the safe, easy.
Because cool. Someone else will, and they're better at it. And that's fine. Like, my hands hurt. I will never, ever be a fantastic piper. Much as I enjoy making the cookies and I enjoy the flight, I got Mallory May's classes on Craftsy and I like doing that style of cookie. I'm never going to do one of her pretty filigree cookies in the way that she does it because she's amazing and her hands obviously do not hurt the way
mine hurt. I like to watch those. There's something like hypnotic and I could watch anything like that. All day. I can't do it. In my mind, I always want to try that and like anything royal icing, like anything Lambeth style. I can watch that all day. Can't do it. Would love to try it, but I know I'd get so frustrated and then get mad at myself and be like, well, it's not perfect. Well, you know, it's the first time you did it. Of course, it's not going to be like I would fall into that cycle.
Yeah, me too.
And then get really frustrated.
Well, that's what I was saying to Christine, a couple episodes ago, Sweet Prodigy. So I don't know if you've seen her work. Basically, she's doing string work on cookies. And so she's doing like a lot of geometric spirography type of stuff. So she's piping a lot of straight lines, but the way they interact, they're forming these, sometimes even going up 3D just because of where the crossings are. And it's amazing. And I really want to make one and I need the Luke Skywalker hand implant first. that's just the reality of it. I will sit knitting watching Julia Usher pipe for hours because I love the videos, but am I ever going to make a Julia Usher 10,000 dot cookie? No. Because I can't.
I think that's okay because I think if I honestly really tried to do it, like, oh, I got an order or my niece, she's 6, she's going to be 7 next month and I do her birthday cakes and she knows anything she asks for, she can have it. And she gets it now that she wants to try to stump Jesse. And I'm like, bring it, like, you know, we want. She can have anything she asks for. I love doing that for her. Like if she asked for one of those cookies, I'd be like, oh crap, I'm going to try. But I think I would get so frustrated because I wouldn't be able to do the job that I'd want it to. Like, not that I would hate the cookie.
I don't know
if I could enjoy watching because in my mind I'd be like, remember that one time I tried to do it? Like, I'm perfectly happy being a spectator. I could watch that all day.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I want to do, in my fantasy life, where I have the Luke Skywalker implant.
And all the time in the world.
Yeah, because I sometimes I just go and watch the intro to, is it Mark Seaman? Has the Australian spring work class on Craftsy? I watch even just the trailer for it.
He's the epitome of meticulous.
In my fantasy world, I want to make the bridgeless string work in rainbow colors.
Ooh, that'd be pretty.
Against either a bright white or bright, possibly even black, like in neon rainbow colors against a black cake. Bridgeless string work in neon rainbow on a black cake. Oh, that's insane.
His work is incredible. The first Austin that I went to, I went with Lauren as her assistant. And she was very gracious. And she's like, if there's any class that you want to take that doesn't interfere with what we're doing, she's like, I will pay for you to take a class. And I was like, oh, like, there's 10 reasons why that's just amazing, you know? And so I just recently started working with her and I was trying to be like all smart and be like, well, what would you want me to learn? What would make me a more useful employee to you? What should I learn? And Mark Seaman happened to be teaching a class, but it was on piped henna, like a henna pipe design. And where we are in Dallas, there's one hotel, Omni Mandalay, that does a number of Indian weddings. And we get asked to do a lot of Indian weddings. And she was like, honestly, if you could riddle out a simple henna design that could kind of be our go-to, she goes, actually, that would be really helpful. And Mark seems amazing. And so, yeah, we're doing that. The epitome of meticulous. Mm-hmm. Incredible. And I like the theory into henna design. I'm like, oh, that I bought his craftsy class. And I'm like, oh, I'm watching this. Oh, it's so great. And like two Austins later, I was like, oh, I'm going to enter something. I'm going to enter. Oh, I don't think I saw you that year. I entered a buttercream only design. That's not what I do. I was like, I'm going to do it.
Which year was that?
No dots. The gradient scale of all it was it was like pointillism dots, and it was just a rainbow, but like a meticulously blended ombre rainbow. And I got I got an award for it, and I was so stoked.
Which year was that? Was it mall year? No, because mall year.
No, it was the first sports arena year.
Okay, that was the year I wasn't there.
See, it was like a single tier, all buttercream, and it was dots, like pea-sized dots of buttercream, gradient, obnoxious, like had to do it in stages because my hand was cramping up. It was so pretty. Lauren made me enter professional because she's like, no, you work at my bakery, stuff comes out, you have to go in professional. I'm like, oh, professional, blah, blah, blah. And there weren't too many entries. And no. I was like, oh, okay. I'm just looking at whatever everything else was. And I think I did okay. And it comes time for awards. And they were like, third place. This is my friend. Second place. And they called my name. And I was like, oh, it was one of those years where you're like, I must have missed like something cool about something else. And so I get, you know, my second place ribbon and no first place was awarded. And I was like, what? And then I found out because, you know, we're friends with everybody. Mark Seaman was one of the judges and he voted. And it made me mad at the time, but now I love him for this. He was like, it was beautiful. It was the best that it was there, but it wasn't good enough for first place. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I got a silver medal for rainbow ombre dots. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. I'll take that. But I had that half second. I'm like, oh. Mark Seaman's amazing. He's so meticulous. He's like, no, some of your dots had points on them. I'm like, oh, I'll give you
which
that.
In professional, like seeing beginners, they wouldn't care, but at professional level, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they dinged me.
Yeah. Well, that's how judges work is mm-hmm. start with full points and look for reasons to take points off.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my God, that thing you just made? That was amazing. You are so good at this.
I'm excited for this year for Austin. I was talking because the theme is Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, obviously you know. And I was talking with my niece. She gets cake. She gets it. Like she's got a real good eye. We start planning her birthday cakes like 6 months out, kind of thing. She comes up with really cool ideas. I've been toying with her, be like, hey, you'll be by the time that one comes around, you'll be seven. Like you know stuff. You can do stuff. Like I think you should. I'm trying to get her to see if she would make something. I'll bring it down for her.
She should. I mean, like, it's free to do, and you're going to bring her back a medal. Like, I was bringing the kids cakes from here.
Yeah, which was awesome.
Yeah, in fact, this would have been the first year Peo couldn't have entered as a definite gimme medal. Because
she would have to earn it.
She'd be 13 for this one, so she would. Yeah. She's into teen, and teen is actually competitive. So Peo was not going to enter this year anyway. Peo's had a medal every year since she was three, except for the one that I missed in 2014. 2015 show. Because we came down here in 2014. We came here in 2014. Yeah, because that's where we've just been realizing that it's August. In fact, oh my God, it's August 11th here now. This is now 4 years anniversary being in England. In a few hours, it will be exactly 4 years. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we arrived at like 9:30 in the morning at Heathrow on August 11th, 2014. So that's, but part of my FOMO is because I've heard Lauren's coming back this year and I haven't seen Lauren in so long. I think possibly since that day of sharing when she was sitting there and
probably
telling me how Mike had. Oh yeah. Okay. But I remember that first show that both Mike and Lauren were there that first year because I went to the demo. I almost never went. I got a friend to cover. I used to run the kids area. And I got a friend to cover the kids area so I could go to the Mike McCary demo. But she was also doing a demo as part of that. And she was so starstruck by him that when he walked into the room, she went all, ha ha. And he was like, what? And she's like, well, because you're Mike McCary. And he's like, huh? Because like he just keeps saying, I'm just a guy. And we're like, no, you're the cake god. He's like, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you are.
I love that he's not, it's oblivious is not the right word, but like he could deservedly have a really big head, you know, kind of kiss the ring and you cannot turn your back to me kind of thing.
He could, we probably wouldn't love him as much.
There are so many cake people that are directly influenced with what he's done, and, you know, things that he's come up with and the way that he attacks cakes. It's so cool. Like, I dig it. And he literally is just a guy. He's a guy with just a ton of knowledge. And sometimes it's hard. I'm like, I still fangirl.
Oh yeah. Can't help. I still do. And he doesn't get it. Like he genuinely doesn't get it. And then he tries to do it back.
And it doesn't, and you're like, oh,
doesn't
no,
go
okay.
the other way. Like even in my interview awesome. For in Austin, you might interview him for the podcast. Like I've never actually had him on for a full episode, but like if I book now, maybe I can get him in 2030. but yeah, so when I was interviewing him on the show floor for Austin, I was like, you know, get over here. I mean, like, cause I have reached a point with Mike McCary where sometimes I'll just bark an order at him. And then it occurs to me, I have just barked an order at Mike McCary. And I think, nah, he'll do it. which makes me feel super important. Like I might be one of the real cake people.
Yeah.
Even though I'll never be one of the cool kids in those cool kids diva sets, I'm like, yeah, but like, as Kyla keeps reminding me, Mike McCary knows who you are. And I'm like, I know Mike McCary knows who I am. So that's like, yeah that makes me legit.
But like, that's all you need.
But so like, I'm interviewing him and he's telling me about how he liked the various cakes, including yours. Yeah. And so, which we should talk about in a minute, but so the Nautilus cake, cause that was epic. But he was telling me about, oh, I like this one and make sure you go see. And it was before he knew whose was who. So he's like, oh, I like the Atom Bomb one. I don't understand it, but I love that some of it. And then he starts, he gets this look on his face and he starts to get this tone in his voice. And I know now, oh, here we go.
Yeah,
here comes the teasing. And it's like, and someone over here, they made like a Da Vinci thing out of gingerbread. If you could imagine that. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, we're doing this, are we? We're gonna
bring it. Let's just go.
Yeah, let's just do it. But yeah, like I was telling you earlier, it was like so weird because he asked me. I don't think I put that on the air. I can't remember if I was recording at that point. He asked me what had I done to cover the gingerbread. Had I mushed up more gingerbread and made a paste and covered it? And I was like, dude, no, it's Maudlin paste. It's just, it's Squire's Kitchen Maudlin paste, and Teddy Bear Brown happens to be the exact same color as my gingerbread.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, no, I just covered it Maudlin paste. He goes, well, it's so smooth. I'm like, because I know how to put Maudlin paste on. Like, that's not a skill you should be impressed with at this level. Like,
But see, you've got to take that as like the weirdest compliment, because that's
is.
Where he went. Like, he knows that you approach things
that's right.
like from a way different perspective, and you were willing to try the weird stuff.
He thought I'd worked so much harder, and it was just literally I'd walked around my kitchen going, what do I have in here that I'm not otherwise going to use, because like I get up cheap. What's expired that I can put on a competition piece, right? Because I was
you play that game too.
Oh, totally.
Like, it's still usable. But
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Stuff.
Yeah. And so I had, again, it was from Cake Bag. I'd had just like a single pack. See, that's the thing. A single packet of fondant or modeling paste in a color is often useless.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do with the single? I mean, not always. Like, if you're doing a lot of modeling, I mean, I've often been like, it's like at the samples, you know, obviously Satin Ice, which I think we all know how much Kim loves Satin Ice fondant.
Yeah.
You will always love when it's in the house and there's a Satin Ice choice, that's my choice. I love it.
Yeah.
But don't get it very much here. But so like I will use those little tiny samples we get in the Austin bags.
Yeah.
But like by the time I get to all of it, it's probably expired because like what are you gonna do with like, you know, 3 cubic inches of orange?
I got the best. I had done a little It was a little flower cake, like a painted flower, like something totally off book from what I normally do. And I entered it in this little Instagram contest, and it won. And it was like sponsored by this little cake shop, I think in California. And my prize, they actually sent me stuff. I'm like, oh, cool. It was like a little rolling pin. I'm like, oh, okay. We have a bunch. That's wonderful. And she sent me ball tools, and but like different size ball tools. I'm like, oh, okay. She sent me a 5-pound bucket of white Renshaw. I'm like, are you kidding me right here? This is amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I was talking with Mary Carmen. Love Mary Carmen. She's always at Sap Nice. And I was talking with her because they just at this pass house and had a couple new colors. The Satin Ice Burgundy.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a
Texas A&M color. And I was looking at this going, Burgundy is like that color. Oh, I'm really good with color. I'm really good with color matching. I struggle with Burgundy. And I'm looking at this and she gave me a bucket. Thank goodness. Thank you, Mary Carmen from Satin Ice, giving me a bucket of Burgundy. And it's the perfect Texas A&M, and I've used it, and I've like actually bought more. We don't buy a lot of Fondant. We don't use a lot of Fondant. I was like, we've got to get this color. I would have shipped that back.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I am so impressed that you were holding out, that you were coherent.
For values of coherence, really sure, yeah. Just sitting here looking wistfully at the dark chocolate bucket going.
Okay, looking wistfully, because I've totally off point. Like, have made, like, changes in how I eat. Like, I don't eat a lot of carbs. Like, I used to eat a lot of sugar, and I've cut that out. And, like, I've seen health changes in a good way, so yeah, whatever. But every now and then, tiny indulgences. And I bought a bar. Have you seen that pink chocolate, the ruby chocolate? Like,
I have.
Comes out, speaking like, it squashes pink.
Yeah, speaking of Mark Seaman and Cal, because he works for Calibo, which is that, yes. Where do they make that? Or is, yes, that, I like to call it Calibut, because it drives Kyla nuts if I call it Calibut.
Oh,
as if I don't know how it's pronounced.
I'll pick up that.
and she's like, I'm going to tell Mark Seaman on you. And I'm like, hey, Mark, Calibut. Calibut. And he's like, I'm not getting involved in this conversation. Like, that was so far beneath him. He didn't even touch that. So yeah, Calibut pink chocolate. Yep.
Yeah. We've one little store here that carries it. And they were doing this, you know, you try it, whatever. And so I bought a bar of it. But I've been only, since I've been not, you know, trying to eat less sugar and stuff, I've only take off like a little teeny piece, and this bar's lasted forever. And you've been talking about, I just put a piece in. It's snack time.
It's snack time. Mm, is it good? So give us a review. Give us an online, on-the-cuff review of the pink chocolate.
Have you tried it?
No. But I'm, you know what, I'm not a big, I like dark chocolate. I'm okay with British milk chocolate because it's really good. American milk chocolate, I won't even bother with.
I won't even, yeah.
And white chocolate, I generally don't see the point of, unless I'm making modeling chocolate, to be honest.
Okay. Then you and I are at the same place. Like, dark chocolate, I love it. If it's a good milk chocolate, white chocolate, just do stuff with it. It's got, if you had to relate it to one of those three, closest to milk, to white chocolate, it's got that kind of white chocolate. If I'm eating it, it feels like super creamy, a little fatty.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a different mouthfeel than like a bitter chocolate. Mm-hmm. It's got the mouthfeel of a white chocolate. It's a little bit tart. Like, if you closed your eyes and I gave you a piece, like, to me, it tastes not like there's a raspberry. There's something a little tart, a little fruity. It goes kind of that direction. Like, if I'm eating a piece of white chocolate, to me, it just tastes sweet and fatty and vanilla.
Yep.
Where this is sweet and fatty and a little tart, a little berry, maybe even a little citrus, but it's, the color is so gorgeous.
You see, I look at it, I've only ever seen it in pictures, and I look at it and I imagine that it smells and tastes like fake strawberry.
Okay, let's be nerdy and specific. Like a dehydrated raspberry or something. So it's like tart, but it tastes natural. It doesn't taste artificial.
Okay. Well, because that's the thing. When you take a strawberry, even just freezing it, because I make the kids quote-unquote smoothies, and this actually turned into an issue with Paya recently, because she actually thought this is what a smoothie is. The smoothies I make, I take frozen strawberries and I puree them with water, and I say to the kids, here's a smoothie. Because on a hot day, they think they're getting a treat, right? But all I've given them is a serving of fruit and water.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that this kind of came back to bite me when Peo then went ahead and volunteered for her school to make, you know, hundreds of smoothies for their school fair. And I'm like, how would you even do that? And well, I'll borrow our stick blender. I'm like, our stick blender craps out after three of them. And you think you're going to make hundreds? And
yeah,
she's like, oh,
you're sweet peanut, but no.
And I'm like, am I supposed to be buying how many kilos of frozen strawberries?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I can make it in advance. I'm like, are you going to carry all this liquid? Peo, liquid is heavy. That's why it has a high carbon footprint. And then she's, and I'm like, what, how are you going to get the yogurt or dairy? And she goes, well, there isn't any. I'm like, that's what normal people think a smoothie is. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, and she's like, no, they won't expect that. I'm like, Peo, they're going to expect that. That's like, yeah. If you go to a smoothie shop and you buy that, she goes, oh, well, we've never had that. I was like, I know, because I've been lying to your wife.
You're like, the moral of the story is mommy lied.
Yeah. But you liked what I gave you and it was super healthy and that's why you're a healthy kid. So
you like, you don't know any better. So it's fine.
That's right. Well, it's like when you do the banana ice cream, right? Where you just freeze banana and put it in the food processor and it's like ice cream and your kids think it's ice cream, but it's literally just a banana, nothing else added.
Oh yeah.
So I totally been meaning to make some of that for Robin, but it's been so hot. We couldn't actually do it because it would melt in the food processor because it's so hot.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
But like when you freeze a strawberry, it tastes like artificial strawberry, even though it's still a real strawberry. And that's just because the artificial strawberry is using the compound that's still left even after you've frozen it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay,
so like
okay.
A freeze
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, freeze-dried strawberry is the same thing. A freeze-dried strawberry, even though it's real strawberry, smells and tastes like fake strawberry.
See, now I want to go out and buy, like, freeze-dried strawberries.
Why? They taste fake.
Okay, guys, whatever you're working on, it's time to take a stretch. Put your piping bag down, put those tweezers down, put whatever you're working with down. Stretch your hands, stretch your arms, do a big stretch back. You're going to feel so much better after you do this, trust me, guys. Okay, big stretch. Oh. Give your shoulders a bit of a shake. Right? Doesn't that feel better? Okay, now you can get back to being awesome.
It's the magic thing that I love to teach beginners of the whole thing where you you roll the fondant, you pick it up on your pen and drape it over.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know to do that. They think you should pick up, because they see it on Bake Off or whatever. Someone's like picking up fondant and their fingers are going through because they don't know what they're doing, right? And so once you show them the trick of the pen, you lift it with the pen and you drape it over the cake, they're like, oh, I've never made such a beautiful cake. The beginners are so happy when you teach them that.
Right.
And pulling out the pleats. That's the other magic. You teach them.
Yes.
Pull out, because I learned that at my first, and I'm going to say it right this time, ICES convention. My first ICES convention. I'm watching a demo, and I used to like do the newbie thing. Well, you get a pleat and you snip it off, and then you stick a flower over it to cut the fat.
Right?
Because it's.
Yeah, because like until you know.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that? Like that's, you just assume that's what
you
saw.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Because it's what you would do with cloth or, you know, Play-Doh or whatever. Yeah.
And those are the cakes where in the back of my mind be like, oh, I wish I could redo.
With modeling chocolate, because then you could blend out the scenes, right?
Oh, yeah. I love modeling chocolate.
If we'd known about modeling chocolate, we already would have known about pulling out the pleats, because that's like the beginner that you learn, right?
Fine.
Is it possible that there's a cake beginner who went straight to modeling chocolate and skipped fondant? Oh,
God. That'd be amazing.
If anyone listening is or knows someone who is, please call in because you're like a unicorn and I need to speak to you. That's amazing.
God, could you imagine? Like, I don't know what to do with fondant. I've never touched it, but I can do this out of modeling chocolate. I'd be like, would you be my friend?
Yeah. You know who might? I could see it in the people who, like Carla Pooge and stuff, the people who do like the heads, the really realistic, the high realism faces.
Good heads. I could see that.
I could see if you get into it because you're an artist who then starts sculpting in edible media. It's not mediums. It's media.
Media.
Mediums would be a bunch of fortune tellers.
Mm-hmm. But if they were working with lots of different things, it would be a bunch of mediums working with a bunch of different media.
Thank you. Yes. You'll mm-hmm. notice on all the Austin forms, the correct form of medium and media is used because I have fought for that for so many years. And people are like, this isn't a big deal. I'm like, yes, it is. I'm a copy editor too. We will use the correct form.
Damn. See, now I've got that in the back of my mind. I want to enter something and be like, you know, list of mediums used and be like, you know, come up with Zoltan and
that's right.
Miscarry. what was the one?
Oh, the late night call-in ones. I used to know all the names because I used to listen to The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe and they hated those people so much. So they named them all. Yeah, I know what you mean. There was
challenge accepted.
There was the black lady who always had like the big hair, like she always had like the very African-y looking clothes. And Chloe, Chloe, was it Chloe?
Something like that. Thank you.
Yeah, so there was her. But then there was the white lady with the red hair,
mm-hmm.
and like who was a real charlatan, and she was a real piece of work, and frankly, really evil. But yeah,
challenge accepted. Yeah. I'm gonna find a cake show because it won't be on yours because you'll have it worded correctly.
That's right.
But stuff like that, like, in my mind, like, I would think that was so cheeky and so funny and so clever, and it would be just some biddy and be like, nah, I'm taking off points because you didn't fill out your form correctly.
That's right. Well,
I had done a cake at the SoFo show a couple of years ago, and it won. It was really, really good. And, like, it was, like, a constellation galaxy-themed background with a floating 3D lion. So it was, like, the Leo constellation. And I did all this painting, you know, with like tint of royal icing to make it look like, ooh, it's the galaxy. But I was having a really hard time with the stars, like the pinpoint stars.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like the royal, I couldn't like the, either my royal was too runny or it was not runny enough. And I was like, ah, but I had done not cake lace, not that brand, but one of the brands of cake lace. Mm-hmm. And I was able to make that to a right consistency. So it was almost like paint and then could flick that on. Mm-hmm. And that totally helped because I was able to write on the techniques in me is like, okay, technically I used this not cake lace, but that was one more thing. What was your technique? Flicked it with a toothbrush. that wouldn't have come across. Like you wouldn't, that wouldn't have made, like I had to write that down.
That's, again, why the British shows have an innovation gap with the US. I mean, because you can, at most British shows, if you ask, can I leave a piece of paper, I'm going to judge most of the time. Okay, I haven't yet been told no. So I'm, okay. But I just don't know. I'm saying most of the time to hedge my bets. But like at Cake International, you can leave a note for the judge. You can. At least I have in past years, so I'm assuming you still can.
Sure.
But because they're not uniformly doing it, and some people don't even, if you've never competed at an American show, you may not even have it in your head that you can leave a note for a judge.
Yeah.
What's happening is you get people doing interesting new techniques that judges don't know what it is, don't respect it as something new because they don't recognize it. They're just evaluating it as royal icing. So that, but maybe not good royal icing because it doesn't look like good royal icing because it's not royal icing or whatever the case is. And so you get these situations where now the competitor feels like, well, I got punished, which isn't actually what happened, but it's what it feels like.
Feels like.
I got punished for doing something new. Well, screw that. I'll go back to botanically accurate flour, or I'll go back to standard 3-tier cake, or I'll go back to a piped wedding cake, or whatever. Again, so you end up with a show like Cake International having, you know, perfection of a traditional technique is the standard, which is great. But if you care about our industry going forward, you must push innovation.
You've got to.
Yeah.
This past Austin, when, you know, once everything was judged, but they hadn't given the awards yet, Mitchie was one of my judges, and she came over. She's like, I have to talk to you about your piece. And it was like this floating nautilus, like that sea creature with like the weird little, it's like an octopus in a shell kind of looking thing. And she was like, I cut into your cake. And I was like, what? And she said, it's in the back, so it's okay. I'm like, okay, but what? Because like, you know, you have to, with the sculpted cakes, you have to put, you know, your process pictures to prove that it's cake and not this and the other. And she's like, we had to cut into it because we, you know, like we saw your pictures, but we weren't sure, like we had to make sure that it wasn't like foam or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, yeah, I would like, go ahead, try to break my stuff.
Yeah.
Try to break. The SOFLA one that we did, it was the coolest. The category was gravity-defying. Like, so it had to something going on. So this was my little galaxy constellation cake that I had it mounted to a backboard so it looked like it was floating. Like, right. There was no attachment to the bottom. And I didn't do it before, but I made a video of it after where I took the whole thing and spun it upside down. And I'm like, I'm trying to shake it to see if I could break it. And I was like, oh, no, the structure's awesome. Go ahead, try to break my stuff. Well, don't try to break it. Let it be judged and then try to break it. The first Austin that I went to, you know, is helping Lauren with, you know, assisting her stuff. And she knew I had just met Mike McCary the night before, and she knew I was fangirling. And he was giving a structure class. And she was like, oh, just go assist him real quick. I'm like, go, get out of here. Like, no, like, I'm in the same room. I'm okay. And she was like, no, just go. You know, he's just going to be handing out a bunch of stuff. And he said you can help him. And it was so incredible because he was giving – it was a class. It ended up being like a lecture. But he built three structures that were all incredible. And you're looking at this going, what? Like, where would you come up with this? His bobblehead craftsy class where it's the structure to make, like, a bobblehead, you know, a full-size bobblehead cake. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. I have actually – right beside me, because I just put it away again, although I've altered it. So I have the board that he used for his demo for that, for one of the ostriches, because I used to, like, in the last few years that I was there, he had learned that once he'd assembled a structure and obviously couldn't take it back on a plane, that I would happily adopt all his old structure bits. And so, and I brought them here so that the thing that I just blogged, my little cookie display that I took to my camping weekend?
Yes.
That was the base of the Mike McCary bobblehead board. I had taken the threaded rod out, covered the bottom, and then I bought some A4 sized MDF that I nailed on the back. And so, like, I have used that board so many times. And that anytime you see any big board of mine now, it is almost always a Mike McCary board that I've several of them I have, like, refinished. I've put cardboard layers on top so that, like, I'm not destroying the board underneath. Like, it's like, again, in the shrine that we will have of Mike McCary.
The little wooden smoothing tool.
Yeah, so the wooden smoothing tool, like, that's like the holy grail, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that if you touch it, all your cake diseases will be cured. But
pretty much.
But, like, if you just need, like, you know, like, how, like, there's, like, oh, this is a shard of the true cross, like, Bennett's.
Yes.
Like, that's what I have. I have all the, like, all these extra little bits of Mike McCary boards. So these won't cure your cake diseases in the future when we have our shrine to the cake god. What all these little pieces will do is, like, they might just, like, if you rub them before a cake show, you might, like, go up from a bronze to a silver, except that I actually haven't done that, so clearly
I would be down with that.
Yeah, so that's right. So I can set up the British chapter of our new religion that we've totally just started, the Mike McCary god, cake god religion.
Mike McCary, he's the cake god.
Oh my God! Don't let him hear that part.
You know, after we started calling him the cake god at one of the shows, and he's like, "Yeah, no," and we're like, "Oh, okay, yes." he asked Kyla. Kyla had recently posted a Darth Vader helmet that was super shiny, and he said, "Here, I have a question for you. How did you make your Darth Vader helmet?" Dark helmet. See, that's, I'm going Spaceballs on it. I'm so tired.
Spaceballs. I picked up that reference.
4 o'clock in the morning and I'm into Spaceballs. I've gone straight to ludicrous speed over here. God, yeah.
We can't slow down. We can't stop. We have to slow down, folks. Don't get me started. That is the first movie that I bought myself. Like, when I had my own money, and I felt like I was such an adult, and I'm like, I'm going to buy a movie. Spaceballs is my first movie.
You just nailed that impression. And other people, if you haven't seen the movie and you're not picturing Rick Moranis with his self-melted face, then that's you just really nailed it. Anyway, so Mike is asking Kyla, how do you get this so shiny? And she says, well, Pam spray, which to my British audience, aerosol-based cooking spray, which we don't even have here, so, like, you can't even buy that. So, like, imagine your fry light oil, British people, It's a pump spray, but imagine that in an aerosol spray. Okay. That's your Pam oil spray. And he's like, well, how does this work? And how's this? And I was like, do you want me to run some tests? And he's like, yes, cake geek, go forth and run me tests. And I'm like, yes, cake god, I will. He's like, no, don't call me cake god. I'm like, too late. So I did this blog post, and I'll link to it in the show notes, where I wrote it biblically. And then the cake god spake, and he asked unto his disciples, how dost thou get?
All was good.
Like the whole, like not the whole post, because that would get really tedious, but like the first chunk of the post is all written, like with numbered verses and everything.
Oh,
and
funny.
He'd given me a free spot in his guitar class because he'd had a cancellation. So he had all the stuff. And so he's like, come take my guitar class. And I'm like, I can't afford it. And he's like, you're taking it for free. And I'm like, okay,
cake. I can afford that.
Yeah. Thank you, cake god, for your benevolence. So I took his guitar class, but then I took the guitar home and I experimented with the spray on shine.
Yeah.
For his information. Like I timed, like how long until it's absorbed into the fondant. How does it perform on the Molly chocolate versus the fondant? Because it beads up on the Molly chocolate, so you got to be careful. Yeah. So you can polish it in, but then it sort of goes away, and it melts your Albert Ooster silver on your guitar strings. It melts that off. So so you got to be. There's a blog post all about all the stuff that it does. But yeah, okay. So that was where the cake god thing really got cemented, because he protested too much. So,
oh yeah, he'd know better.
Yeah. So then because at that point I had sort of moved out of my reverence into irreverence. That's the best way to put it.
Because it happens.
Because that first year when he would speak to me, like to this day, I've mentioned this many times on the show, I can't tell you what the nice things are he said, because all I heard in my head was, Mike McCary's talking to me. Oh my God, Mike McCary's talking to me. Oh yeah. My God, the cake. And so I don't remember what he said, because I was fangirling so hard I was basically blacking out. But then by the next year, I was like, oh, hey, Mike McCary, I can make jokes with you now. Cake God.
Yeah. The first night that I met is the first Austin that I went to. It was right when Craftsy was starting to get big.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were like, ooh, we think we have an idea. And one of the Craftsy people had come out to Austin, because it was like, here's all of these cake people that I want to talk to, and I want them to have a class. And they happen to be all in the same place at the same time. So I'm going to go to Austin, and I'm going to try to schmooze, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, okay. And Lauren had said, yeah, there's a dinner, like Craftsy is taking us out to dinner. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. She's like, oh, no, you're coming with. And I'm like, oh, no, you know, no. And she's like, no. Like, I've already told you, you're fine. You're going to come. And I'm like, oh, like, I'm just going to sit in the corner. I'm okay. Oh, no. And she's like, and, you know, you'll get to meet Mike McCary. And I was like, oh, God, okay. And she's like, and everybody else is going to be there. And she was funny. She's like, I told him that you're, like totally in awe, and he thinks it's so funny. And I'm like, oh, my God, why'd you tell? You know,
yeah.
It's kind of like my cake hero and calling me out. So we go to this restaurant, and I will love this forever, because, you know, they hadn't been sat yet, because there's a good group of people. And so walk in, and then she says something like, hey, Mike. And he turns around, Jesse! I've never met him before in my life. And he runs over and gives me a big hug. And I'm like, oh, you're my friend forever. And like, so that same night, at that same dinner, met Mike McCary, met Marina Sousa, Joshua John Russell, and Nicholas Lodge. I sat next to Nicholas Lodge for dinner, and he ordered a martini, and I was like, oh, that looks good. He goes, yes, would you like to try some? And I'm like, oh, yes, I would.
Oh my God.
Like, no, I don't even know what it was, but I got to take a sip from Nicholas Lodge's drink, and I had a picture taken next to him, and I thought I could die.
I'm pretty sure if you drink Nicholas Lodge's drink, that gives you cake superpowers.
I think so.
That must.
I think so. And I leaned over, and Lauren was like, oh, I've got to take a picture of you. So it's like super dark. You can't tell that it is. That it's like, you can barely tell that it's us, and it's on my Facebook page. And she's even cute, like, my, you know, my assistant just met Nicholas Lodge or something like that. And like, my, you'd think I just met like Santa, or, you know, yeah. You know, like, my eyes are all crazy big, and like this biggest smile you've ever seen. I'm like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
So cool.
Do you know, I've never technically, well, okay, I've sort of met Marina, because I bought one of her molds when she was at our show. It would have probably been that year. So I went up to her table and bought it's one of those ones. It's the, where it's like the full 3D beaded mold where you put the thread in.
And, yes.
Yeah. So I bought one of those, cause I've made gummy out of it. Of course I have.
Oh, perfect.
It works really well with gummy. It's actually really awesome. You can make like strings of gummy beads. And you can do it on like on
that.
Yeah, you can do it on cheap, your basic cheap invisible thread. Because which you can't use if you're using isomalt because that'll melt, right? You have to use like Kevlar.
Yeah, but for whatever. The gummies, that would
for the gummy, you
melt.
Can totally use the cheap, and it works really well. And because it's that super fine thread, they look like they're hanging in the air. It's really cool. If you look on the gummy page on my site, you'll see like some orange beads made in that mold.
Okay.
Just like hanging in the air.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's really cool. But so like, I didn't really meet her. I was standing in front of her, and I've never met her technically. Joshua John Russell, one of the years he was at our show, I kind of meant to talk to him, but I was rushing past his booth and I smiled and waved and he smiled and waved back, but he didn't know who the hell I was. Like,
yeah.
The closest I've ever come to Joshua John Russell was, I don't know if you heard the episode where I totally stole his voice without his permission.
Nice, well done.
Because I had Mallory May and Michelle Boyd and Sachiko on, the three of them.
Oh, and very cool.
They told the story of Mal running around like crazy at Oklahoma trying to get her cookie upright and things and ice malt sticks breaking and needing a torch or a microwave, and how Joshua John Russell out of nowhere was the unexpected hero and gave a torch. And so I turned this story into like a movie trailer. and if you listen to it, because this weirded out some people and they didn't realize, if you listen to it, the dude narrating it is me with my voice set one pitch lower in audacity.
Oh, that's funny.
Apparently I'm very close to dude already. I've had children say, are you a man or a lady? Because your voice is so low. And I'm like, oh, I'm a lady. Which, that's
very fun.
You know
very,
me, like, I'm very whatever gender anyways. Like, I don't care. So, like, it doesn't bother me. But I would imagine there are probably women who would be insulted if little kids. But I made this trailer. But so they keep talking about him as their hero. I've never met the man.
Yeah.
I have no contact with him. I think I did the friend request on Facebook. But again, like, he's got, like, the 5,000 people or whatever. So, like... Yeah. He's never going to accept that. So I went on to his Man About Cake thing, and I listened to like about 10 different episodes intros where he says his name until I found one that it had the least music behind it that I could strip out.
Sure.
Where he says, hi, I'm Joshua John Russell. So I put that into this movie trailer. You know what? I'll stick it at the end of this episode too, because it's just funny. And it's so inappropriate. And I keep saying, please don't sue me for totally, totally stealing... in the U.S. it would be under parody protection, but we don't have that in the U.K., so please don't sue me. But I've been assured that he's a very nice man who will not sue.
He's very, very nice.
Yeah, so if you know him, tell him he needs to go listen to this parody where he's been made the action movie hero.
Aww.
In absentia.
Hey, this is Mike McCary, and whatever you're imagining is happening, it's not really happening, it's just late. So keep working on your cake.
It's now 5:14 a.m. and the sun has come up.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna, yeah.
We should wrap this. Well, okay, we should ask, is there anything you wanted to mention that you haven't? I think we probably covered everything.
I don't think so. Not off the top of my head. We've talked like about everything under the sun and over it.
Well, because the sun's back up, so yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Your sun must be going down.
Well, yeah, it's like 11 something, so.
Jeez, so like you need to go to bed now, and I need to get up.
It's like way night, yeah. Today was one of those days at work where like nothing went wrong, but everything took like that half extra frustration step, so it's just like, oh
yeah, well, we all know those days. Well, I mean, so that is your full-time job is doing cake,
yes.
Right? Yeah, so it's not like you're off, because half the time it's talking to someone who does like real estate or accounting.
No, I'm a full-time bakery employee. I do the baking, the making all the icing and the filling, and pretty much any cake that's not a wedding cake. And every now and then, if it's a wedding cake that's really crazy and kind of out there, it's my full-time job. and it's awesome most days. Today it was a little frustrating. Like, it was stupid things. Like, somehow, you know, we've got the big floor mixer, like the 20 quart
big. I want one.
Oh, we've got two. Oh, love it. But one of them's a little, like, easier to manipulate the bowl. So there's one that I use primarily. And I hadn't noticed, because we have somebody who comes in and she cleans our bakery twice a week, which is just amazing. And I hadn't noticed that the speed control had gotten bumped up, because it's not like a switch. It's not a toggle. It's pretty much just like a handle that when it's all the way to the left, it's slow. And if you turn it to the right, it just gets faster.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I didn't notice that the speed control had gotten bumped. And so I, you know, put something in the mixer and I turn it on and everywhere. And you just get that moment of, oh, that was so dumb. Like, of course you need to check the speed before you turn the mixer on. But it's like, that was my day.
It was Friday. And I'm saying was because it's not even Friday for you.
It's not even Friday anymore. Like, it hasn't been Friday for a really long time. But yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I know those days. Like, I was having a tired day recently where, and because it was so hot, I was just like, I stubbed my toe and then I dropped the thing and then my finger went through the other thing. And it's like,
yes. Yeah. That was my day.
Yeah.
But then, okay. But then the one thing that made it great, we had this amazing, this is the last story. We did an amazing cake 2 weeks ago, a 3D airplane, like flying airplane. It was better than 3 feet from nose to tail.
Oh, wow.
Huge airplane. Super detailed for a retiring pilot. So, like, he knows this airplane.
Right.
And we had worked with him and his wife, and they're so excited, and they're so wonderful, and they're so – they can't wait. And, you know, they had dealt with our office manager, and she had gotten things kind of started, and then they had the appointment, and they met with Lauren. And then, you know, when we did the delivery, Lauren and I did the delivery, so they met with me, and they're so happy, and they're so thankful and appreciative and, like, the dream client. And then we've gotten a call from the wife saying, if you guys are there at the bakery, we want to give you, like, a thank you. We're sending something as a thank you. We're like, okay, you don't have to do that. But she sent us small, beautiful little like little leather wallets as thank you. But she was like, I met three of you. How many people are at your shop? There's three of us. Okay. So she sent us each a little thank you surprise present.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was like, even just saying thank you is amazing. Like the beautiful card. We're like, oh God, this is great. But then we got a present.
Oh, that is really rare.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
That made up for my mixer being on the wrong speed and, you know, getting flour all over the place. Then I was like, but I got a present.
Aw.
Yeah.
There should be more of that. Yeah, I mean, especially because, you read the horror stories where people are like, you know, oh, I tried to get my money back and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. I loved your cake. Here, thank you, and here is a present is about as good as it gets, really.
Yeah, because she was so immediate, and they were so impeccable. Like, when we delivered, she burst into happy tears.
Aww.
See, yeah, like, and ran up and, like, gave us a hug. And, like an honest, emotional response, a human connection. I was like, this is going to be, like, the highlight of the month.
Yeah.
And then we got a present app. Like, these people, like, whatever you want. Whatever you want, we will gladly and happily make for you again, just because you were honestly just wonderful human beings.
That is the best customer story ever.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Well, I should finish on that happy, happy note, because that is super happy, and it's 5:19. And I'm hitting that thing of, like, should I even have breakfast or should I just go straight to bed? Because Robin will be up in 20 minutes. Like,
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's Saturday. Karin's home. I'm going to go sleep.
Like, there you go.
Yeah. It's just whether or not I should, like, eat some cornflakes before I try to go to bed or something.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because then I can sleep longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you won't wake up. You won't, like, your tummy won't rumble. Like, I've got to eat something and then it wakes you up. Like, you'll be full and happy and sleepy.
Yeah. Because I told him, I said, look, I have an interview at 10 o'clock tonight. I said, we're not going anywhere. Like, I'm not driving anywhere tomorrow. Even though it's the first day of his vacation. I'm like, you know, we're just going to hang around the house tomorrow. So, I know I'm going to sleep.
That's awesome. So yeah, I don't have. I got a Saturday off. Not doing anything.
Well, that's cool. So you
catch
can
catch up on some knitting, watch a movie,
watch some Supernatural.
I have to get caught up. I want to say I'm like in season like 11. Like I'm back.
Yes, watch some Supernatural.
Yeah.
I haven't watched this week's Supernatural yet, I don't think. No, I haven't. Oh my god, I have a Supernatural I could watch.
You need to watch some Supernatural.
Yeah, because it comes on Tuesday, and so I think it's right, because on Tuesday when I could have watched it, it was the thing where it's on live, but I would have been partway through it, so I had to wait, I have to wait for it to, you know, come to the replay.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
So then I wasn't staying up late enough Tuesday, and then I didn't, on Wednesday I was editing podcasts, so...
Watch that tomorrow. That'll be a good one.
There you go. Yeah. But thank you for coming on.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me.
I wish we could do this all the time.
For having like a really random and wonderful conversation.
I know. It was awesome. I want to do this all the time. You should just come live here and hang out.
Count me in.
Okay, cool. You get healthcare. Yeah. It's awesome.
I get healthcare and Schweppes Bitter Lemon.
And no Dramamine, but you know.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yes.
Alright, well, have a good night, good morning. I don't know how to end it with you.
I know, it's like so weird. Literally the sun is coming in the window now. It's like so bizarre. We partied all night, and we should stagger to our beds like the party queens that we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I will talk to
good
you
night.
Later.
Good night, it was awesome talking with you.
Thank you.
Catch me up.
We will talk again soon.
Yes. Have a wonderful good night.
You too.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
From the producers of Cakes on a Plane comes another story of adventure.
You have to be like a shark. You have to keep moving forward or you die.
Friendship.
It's weird when you stalk people and then they become your friends. We weren't even drunk.
And song.
We're all in this together, High School Musical style.
Did you know I am a good singer?
Join Michelle Boyd.
That was like a crash course.
Sachiko Winbale.
The next day, we don't know. I might die.
And Mallory Mae Ragland.
I'm frantic, but I'm a walking ball of chaos.
On a ride of a lifetime.
And then we got back from Taco Bell and realized that we had left a tray of cookie pieces on top of the car.
Share their laughs. Their anguish.
Well, as someone who is not growing, you're all jerks.
And their adventures through the Oklahoma State Fair.
I'm running for the Oklahoma State Fair, and I mean not just the cake show floor. I'm running through the entire fair.
She goes to the pig exhibit, the sheep and the goats, and
every food vendor, everything. Like, do you have a microwave? Do you have a microwave?
With a surprise guest star superhero.
I'm Joshua John Russell.
Joshua John Russell.
Mallory's hero.
I am now ever eternally grateful to him. That was my only experience with Mr. Joshua John Russell. He is an angel in my eyes, a wonderful human being, because he says, please use my torch.
And an unexpected villain.
There's a local place here that serves a 3-pound cinnamon roll.
Experience the artistry, the majesty, and the underpaid thrill ride that is the sugar arts industry until one of them is ready to explode in a way that could tear them all apart.
Oh my goodness, Murray's water just a blob.
There's just a very maternal vibe there. If something happens, we can fix it. If there's no way to fix it, we can hide it.
You're growing a human inside of you.
Ew, stop.
Who's gonna stop me? Nobody.
It's gonna be okay. This is gonna be a hot mess. I'm never gonna be able to show my face again.
I don't understand why everyone can't just get along.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the kitchen, you realize you're up to your elbows in royally screwed icing. Coming this holiday season to the cinemas of our sugar-fueled dreams, a taken-out-of-context production, rated PG-13.
I took a little bit of offense to that, but, you know, it is what it is. I want more!
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it. Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
Girl that Mike McCary said was cool. Yeah.